You may care to have open before you a copy of the scriptures turned to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. Gospel of John and chapter 10. We've been racing through one chapter a week, not being exhaustive, and we have arrived in chapter 10. Remember, as you read the scriptures, that the chapter divisions and the verse divisions are not inspired. They are a later addition. And so therefore sometimes you will read through and you'll think, well, why did they break that chapter and that verse there? It doesn't make any sense. I think we have another example here. Because notice, right at the beginning, Jesus is speaking to someone. Who's he speaking to? Well, he's clearly speaking to the people in the temple that he's just been speaking to. He's speaking to this group of Pharisees and to the man born blind and to the others who were there as well. This carries on. This is the same occasion. Later on in the chapter, we find that we move on a few months. We have been at the Feast of Tabernacles, October-ish. But then in verse 22, at that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. This was later. The subject he's dealing with is the same. He's brought back again the subject he was dealing with earlier. Don't think, oh, it must have been the same time because he's talking about the same subject. It's like when people turn between Matthew and Luke and they read the Lord's Prayer and they say, but the situation in which this was given is totally different from the situation it's given in Matthew. So surely here is a contradiction in the scriptures. Well, that's as absurd as saying that when I preached on Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 in Welshpool, I believe it was the year before last, there are differences between that sermon and the sermon that I preached on the same text from the exact same notes in 1985 or 86 in Mitcham in South London. Just because you have the same subject being dealt with in two different places doesn't necessarily mean that it was the same event, because I'm sure Jesus said many of these things more than once, because he knew, to quote Dr. Lloyd-Jones, that in order to get things into people's heads, you need to use repetition. You say the same thing again and again, or you say the same thing in a slightly different way, in order that people will get a grip, get a grasp of what is being said, and understand what's going on. And so just because Jesus is talking about sheep and shepherds in the second half of the chapter, as well as the first half of the chapter, it doesn't mean it's all taking place at the same time. He would have repeated himself a lot in order to communicate with the people, because not that many people could read, and books were scarce, because books had to be produced by hand. You couldn't just go and run off another one. You couldn't just pop off down to your local instant copy shop and get them to run off a few photocopies for you. Someone had to sit down by hand, write it all out again if you wanted another copy. And so most of what people knew and understood about the scriptures came from having the scriptures read to them and read to them again and again and again. That's why Paul says to Timothy, until I come, attend to the public reading of the scriptures. It's not that there is something magical about the scriptures being read, it's that that is the only way that most people at the time would get to know what the scriptures said. read the scriptures to them on a regular basis in order that they might hear the word of God. That's the only way they're going to get it. And so I think we have here two separate situations, yet situations in which Jesus spoke about the same subject. Well, we're not going to deal with the second half of the chapter. We're really only going to look at the first half of the chapter down to about verse 18. So if you were wanting me to talk this morning about why they were going to stone him and that, well, we'll have to leave that for another day. But here the Lord Jesus speaks to them, as it says in verse 6, using a figure of speech. Or you could also say, in an allegory. Don't be afraid of words like allegory or metaphor, or the many other words that are used to describe various varieties of figures of speech. An allegory is a description of a subject under the guise of some other subject of aptly suggestive resemblance, says the Oxford English Dictionary. And so, the Holy War, which the younger ones, or some of the younger ones, will be familiar with, the Holy War is an allegory. If I asked you who the emperor is, I hope you would be able to know. I hope if I said to you, is there not an emperor in the Holy War? Sorry, the king. I'm getting confused with another book. Because I'm thinking of another book at the same time, and it's The Emperor Over the Sea in the other book. But if I was to ask you what man's soul is, you would know. In fact, John Bunyan does try and make it easy so you can understand that he's talking about the soul of man. If you read the Chronicles of Narnia, there are very many allegorical elements in that, where you are to understand that Aslan is the Lord Jesus Christ. As opposed to a metaphor is a figure of speech in which a name or descriptive term is transferred to some object different from but analogous to that to which it is properly applicable. An instance of this, a metaphorical expression. So a metaphor is not the same as an allegory. And if you're confused, don't worry about it. We're going to look at something allegorical this morning, where Jesus speaks about sheep and shepherds and hired servants and gatekeepers. He is trying to explain to the Pharisees and to those who believed, who were round about him as he said these things, the vast difference there is between the shepherd and those who are not the shepherd, and the sheep and those who are not sheep. Now, we need to understand something of Near Eastern agriculture, particularly the keeping of livestock, particularly the keeping of sheep. We live in an age when we talk about sheep, we might think about mutton or lamb and mint sauce. And that's just about all we know about it, and that lamb is more expensive than pork, and so we don't have lamb very often. But where does it come from? Well, it comes from animals living in fields that have to be looked after and cared for. And these animals, lambs and sheep, do have problems with predators, such as wolves, who like to come along and take them away for their own tea. And it's this sort of thing that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the care of them. And everybody listening to him would have an understanding of this because so many of the people they knew would be involved in this. It was very, very common. It wasn't that you had this enormous farm of thousands and thousands of acres and you might get a telescope and see in the far distance there's a group of sheep. You would have a shepherd who would own just a small number of sheep, and he would care for them. And there are misunderstandings that so easily come about. Before we come on to the misunderstandings, let's first of all see that in the Old Testament, quite often, what Jesus is doing here is not new. We have the example, of course, of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, etc. He looks after me. He cares for me. He provides for me. And there are a number of psalms. I think for the sake of time, I'll just give you the references. Psalm 79, verse 13. Psalm 80, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 7. I think perhaps we will turn to Ezekiel chapter 34 and read what it says there. Just so we have at least one Old Testament example that you hear this morning. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 15. I myself, God says, will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them on justice. As for you, my flock, says the Lord God. So he's talking very tenderly to the believing Jews about how he would care for them and provide for them. And of course, Jesus speaks in exactly the same way, both here in John chapter 10, but also we have an example in Matthew chapter 18, where he's speaking about the care, the love that a shepherd has for his sheep. Matthew 18 and verse 10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. You see that the Lord Jesus is picking up exactly these sort of things from the Old Testament in Ezekiel and other places about how in the Old Testament it is God who is the shepherd. In the New Testament, it is the Lord Jesus who is the shepherd, who loves and cares for his sheep. Now, the shepherd would go round the land and he would pasture the sheep. He would find some nice green grass. I'm sure as you've been going round the village and you've passed a field that's got some sheep in, and you'll almost invariably find there is at least one sheep that's stuck its head through the barbed wire of the fence and is trying to eat the grass outside of the field, which is where the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, comes from. Not content with what's in the field, they want what they think is more lush grass outside. But what the shepherd does is he herds his flock from here to there. He doesn't get them to feed upon the dry, white, barren grass. He takes them off to the place where there's nice, long, lush grass that they can feed upon, so that they grow big and strong and are cared for. Provides them with the water that they need by making sure that there is a nearby stream. But of course, a shepherd is working by himself. A shepherd cannot clock on and clock off and just leave the sheep and go home for his tea and go to bed and then come back to them in the morning, because sheep being sheep, they'd have just wandered off all over the place. Can't do that. A shepherd has to stay with his sheep. And so what he does, he finds places, or he makes places, where they are able to go and where they are able to be protected at night from predators such as wolves or even lions. And if you think that you only get lions in Africa, you are wrong. You might be right now, but you were wrong in the past. At the time of the Lord Jesus, they did have lions in Africa. And I knew a girl who was doing a thesis. She was an archaeologist. She was doing a thesis on Palestinian lions. Very interesting subject, I'm sure. But in order to protect the sheep from predators, they would find suitable places. It might be they'd put them into a cave. Or it might be that they would pile up rocks from round about and create a sheepfold. They might, if they had them available, gather some grey chairs together and put them round in a circle, and they would use that as a sheepfold. Philippa, Helena, are you warm enough to come and occupy the sheepfold? Right, so Eleanor and Philippa are our sheep. Don't sit on the dirty one that's got the sand on. Right, so the sheep have now been brought in to the sheepfold for the night. Then what happens? Well, we need to take a little aside first. There are people who read the scriptures and they have an absurdly literal view of what the scriptures say. Some people say we must interpret the scriptures literally, but then they literally apply the scriptures literally. And so when they read in John 1 verse 29, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus is a fluffy white animal." Of course he isn't. And so, many years ago, we were on a holiday down in Devon, and we went to Buckfast Abbey. Buckfast Abbey is famous for the wine that it makes. Don't drink too much, you'll get a very bad headache. But it's also very close to the Dart Valley Railway. It's much more interesting than Buckfast Abbey. But when we went into Buckfast Abbey, they had an art exhibition. A local artist had done some paintings based upon the I Ams of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And in this chapter, we have Jesus saying, "I am the door." And so you had this painting of an oak door, a bit like this door over here, an oak door with a head on the top, and a pair of hands at the side and feet at the bottom. Yes, ever so silly. But it shows complete ignorance of shepherding in the Near East. Now, our shepherd today is Jonathan. So Jonathan is going to come and he's going to stand in the gap. And he would look and make sure, he'd look around and he'd see that his sheep are there. He'd count them up, and I think he can count up to two. And he'd see that they're all there. And right, so everything is safe. So now, he's going to, you don't have to lie down, but get down, squat down on the floor where you are. So what has he become? He's the door. You can't get in or out of the sheepfold without opening the door. So when Jesus says, "I am the door," this is the picture that he's using. That you can't get in or out of the sheepfold without going through the door, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel, is he awake? Can you come up here? There's one simple thing I want you to do. Ever so easy. It's ever so easy, Katie. Do you want to do it instead? Daniel seems to be too shy. Come round. Well, come round here. Right, now remember, the chairs aren't chairs. They're big piles of stones made up into a big sheepfold. Right, just climb in. But not that one, because that's more than sand on this one over here. Right, so now Katie represents one of two kinds of person. She is either someone who's trying to creep in and become part of the flock of sheep. Except in the morning the shepherd wakes up and he looks around and he counts to make sure they're all there. And he says, right, one, two, hang on, I've got one too many. This isn't one of mine. And so he calls his sheep out and he takes them out of the sheepfold off to some nice pasture and he calls them. And his sheep recognize his voice and so they follow him. But also the shepherd knows the voice of his sheep. Now you go out into the fields and you hear the sheep going, meh, they all sound the same. But if you're a shepherd, you can tell the difference. Like when you go to a foreign country, you go to China, and you look at the Chinese, and you think, how do they recognize each other? Because they all look the same. Guess what? When the Chinese come here, they look at us, and they say, how do you recognize each other? You all look the same. You get used to things. And so the shepherd gets used to the sound of the bleating of his sheep, and he can tell the difference. Even if there's a whole field full of sheep, and various shepherds, a good shepherd can hear the voice of his sheep. So, Katie is someone who is attempting to get in who shouldn't be there. But she could also be a robber and a thief, or a wolf. And she might have climbed over into the sheepfold in order to grab one of the sheep and drag it off. Now, we're not going to act that out. We'll assume that, because we don't want anyone to get hurt on the chairs. But do you see the picture that Jesus is painting and the picture that he's using? Okay, you can go and sit down now. Thank you very much. You see the picture Jesus is using? He's saying, we all know about this situation. I am the shepherd who cares for the sheep. I love the sheep. I know the sheep. And my sheep know me. So when I call the sheep come to me. The sheep respond to the sound of the shepherd. True believers in the Lord Jesus Christ respond to his voice as it comes to them. Through the scriptures. He cares for them. He provides for them. He nourishes them. He looks for the good pastures. Having his spirit within. The spirit within responds to the truth of God without. And we are, and God directs us by his spirit, by his word, that we might receive those things that are best for us. And we have in this section here, verse 7 down to verse 18, we can see, if we have this picture in our minds, what Jesus is saying. Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the one who protects them and preserves them. They can't come in or out except by me. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Remember who's listening to him? Pharisees. You're all a bunch of thieves and robbers, he says. What you do is not to care for the sheep. You seek to come along and steal the sheep and take them away. But the sheep did not listen to them. And you got upset because you have said, do this, do that, do the other. You put great weights upon people, telling them what they must and mustn't do. You had no care for them, no concern for them. You just enjoyed exercising power. But Jesus says he is the shepherd who loves them and cares for them. And they listen to him because he tells the truth. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He will be cared for and nourished. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Life in abundance. He is the good shepherd providing for the sheep. And he lays down his life for the sheep. So if a lion, a wolf, comes to attack the sheep, he won't run away. He will defend the sheep. He will preserve the lives of the sheep. He will even die for the sheep. Someone would even give his life for a bunch of sheep? Well, the answer is, shepherds would perhaps not quite give their lives, but they would certainly take great risks in order to preserve their sheep. But the Lord Jesus Christ really meant it when he says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, because that's exactly what he did. He gave up his life in order that his sheep might be preserved from all evil, from sin and death and hell, and in order that we might know not just life in its abundance here and now, but real life in eternal glory on a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. But then you get the contrast. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I'm not going to risk my life just for a bunch of sheep. And this is a distinction that you get between the Lord Jesus and indeed true pastors of churches who are concerned for people and will stand up to protect and preserve people in the gospel, and those who really have no concern but are just in it for the money, in it for the prestige, in it for who knows what, but it's not for the concern and care of the people being pastored. He flees because he's a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. The Lord Jesus, however, is the good shepherd. I know my own know me. He knows each one. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are known by the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows all your trials and tribulations. He knows all the difficulties that you experience in life. There is that story that is often told about a man who has a dream that there he is at the end of his life, and he sees his life as a beach, and there are footprints along the beach. I'm sure most of you have heard this before. And he sees his own footprints, and at the point he's converted, another pair of footprints appears. And that's the Lord Jesus coming to join him in his journey through life. But then as he looks more closely, he notices that there are periods in his life when one of the sets of footprints disappears. And when he thinks about it, he thinks to himself, those are the periods in my life when it was most difficult, when I had the greatest trouble, the greatest trials, when I was persecuted. And he speaks to the Lord and he says, Lord, you promised me with me always, but look, there you were not with me during these intensely difficult periods. And the Lord's response is this: no, you completely misunderstood. Those aren't your footprints. Those are mine. And it's at those points I carried you. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he does care for the sheep. And when a sheep runs away, thinking it's going to find some nicer grass, the good shepherd goes and finds it, picks it up, puts it on his shoulder, and carries it back to the fold, that it can join the rest of the flock. We tend to think, oh, life is hard and difficult, trials and troubles, mumble, grumble, moan, groan. But the Lord Jesus, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is with us always, and he is always caring for us and always providing for our needs. Oh, but you don't know what's happening to me. You don't know how hard it is for me. But he does. He knows. He knows better than you do. He cares for you. And he is caring for you and preserving you and protecting you. And you say, but it's so hard, it's so unpleasant, I don't want this to happen to me. But when you come out of the other side, you will look back and you'll say, well, I still don't fully understand why, But I can see that there are benefits that have come from this. I would not wish this experience that I've just had upon my worst enemy. But thank God, he took me through it, and he preserved me through it. And I am a more godly person as a consequence. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us through such situations, if we believe in him. He is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. And then he mentions in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Right, you lot that I'm talking to here and now, you're Jews. There are Gentiles as well. Don't allow the Mormons to say to you, Jesus is saying here, there are the believers in Europe, but there are believers in the Americas as well, and I've got to go and get those. And so after the resurrection, I'm going to appear to the people in America. That's what the Mormons will tell you. It's rubbish. Jesus is talking about the difference between those there then and in the surrounding area, the Jews who believed, and those who were not Jews, the Gentiles. And all the way through the Gospels, indeed, all the way through the Scriptures, while God, up until the day of Pentecost, God is dealing primarily through the nation of Israel, there is always the suggestion that there is a broadness that is coming. That if anybody in the Old Testament became a Jew, they became a member of the people of God. But once we get beyond Pentecost, the gospel goes out throughout the world to everybody. And that's what Jesus is talking about there. Other sheep not of this fold. I have other sheep who are not Jews. And they too will listen to my voice, so that all may be joined together in one. There are, throughout the world, messianic Jewish churches. There are black churches. There are Chinese churches. There are Welsh churches. There are English churches. There are all kinds of churches. Well, we might say that it would be difficult for us to join with the Welsh because how many of us speak Welsh? It would be difficult for us joining with the Chinese because how good's your Chinese? But black churches? Why? Unless in the area of that church there is no one else. The only basis upon which people should have different churches, apart from some have different beliefs, but the primary thing is that it is not a racial thing, because all people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of the same fold. Why divide because we've got different coloured skins? Well, it's daft. Means you go off on the holiday to Mallorca and you come back and you have to set up a new church for a few weeks because you've got a nice suntan. It's silly. Round here, we don't have a lot of black faces. It just happens to be the area we live in. But if people with black faces came in and joined us, would we turn them away and say, I'm sorry, you've got to go and join the church down the road? That's what an old lady said to me once when I think they were Nigerians, possibly, came along and one Sunday and I blessed one of their children. And this dear old lady said, why did they come to us? Why didn't they go to Pastor Francis, who used our building afterwards, and they were all blacks? And she thought, no, they're blacks, they should go to him, and we're whites, and so we're here now. It was rubbish. Jesus says, I know my sheep. I know who are mine. I have others not of this fold. I'm going to bring them all together into one. And that really the only thing that should divide, although often we find that others hold to strange doctrines, But the only thing that should divide in this world is the fact that we might not understand one another. But even then, just because someone is a very broad Geordie doesn't mean that we should exclude them. Because if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are brethren in Christ and therefore part of the one flock of God. Jesus, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus loves you more than you love yourself. He is the good shepherd. And just as an ordinary shepherd would care for his sheep, he cares for you. And no matter how difficult life may be, he cares for you. If you wander and stray, he'll come after you and seek to preserve you. And sometimes he allows nasty things to happen in order to encourage you not to stray. But beware of those who have no concern or care for the sheep, and all they're concerned about is themselves, all they're concerned about is prestige, wealth, power. These people are not concerned about you, they're concerned about themselves. But it's not always easy to notice. Jesus warns elsewhere about wolves coming to you in sheep's clothing. Now, if you've ever seen cartoons with Wile E. Coyote and such like, you'll know in the cartoons how silly it looks when they try and put on a sheepskin. And as you think about it, you think, well, it's daft. How could anybody ever have been taken in? But people do get taken in. And these pictures are used to help us to understand just how deceitful some people can be in leading people astray. Always remember that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is perfect and infallible, and that no man is. And so always test and evaluate everything that is said to you by anybody to see whether it is what the Scriptures teach, that you are not led astray by a wolf in sheep's clothing. Remember, there is only one way into the sheepfold. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Climbing over the fence and joining with the sheep is no good. Bunyan uses that picture in Pilgrim's Progress of the man who climbs over the wall and into the way, and when they get to the celestial city, the man is rejected. He has not got a scroll, which all true believers have, and he is taken off to a dreadful place. And Bunyan writes, "And so I saw in my dream that there was a way to hell from the gates of heaven." We must beware that we do not think that we can get into the fold by climbing over the fence, but we have to come through the gate, through the door, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and be received by him. He knows who are his. We might in this life deceive those around us and persuade them that we are a member of Christ's flock. But while you may deceive others, you cannot deceive him. And so how much easier is it, rather than deceiving other people, just come to the Lord Jesus, who is ready, willing, and able to save all who will come to him and trust in him, all who will surrender to him and submit to his rule in their lives. He will take away all your sin, give you peace and joy in your heart, and you will desire then throughout this life and then throughout the life to come to rejoice in his goodness, mercy, and loving kindness, and to seek to spread the good news about who he is and what he has done to all who will listen. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your shepherd?